Hello and welcome to Bishop Ato Dixon's podcast. Bishop Ato Dixon is a true son of Bishop Dagwood Mills and the convener of Jesus is the Rock Church, a denomination under the United Denominations originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Listen and be blessed as he shares with you deep messages from the Word of God.
Father, we thank you, we bless you. Thank you that this morning you have gathered us again as your sons, daughters, to sit at your feet to hear the words, oh God, ancient words of wisdom, ancient words of deliverance, ancient words of salvation. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will give us deep understanding to your word of truth. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we'll behold wondrous things out of your law. Thanking you, O Lord, for this beautiful time in your presence. Take control. Take charge. Influence our thoughts. Influence our heart. Grant us quick understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that may I not speak with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but Holy Spirit, influence every word that comes out of me and bless your church. We give you praise. We give you honor in Jesus' name. And all said, amen. Oh, somebody, you can do it better. You know, be excited when you are in the presence of the Lord. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. I know you went to Wesley Girls, but don't hold back. Yes. I know you went to Fortepim School, but don't hold back. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Give somebody a high five and take your seat in the presence of the Lord as you turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse number 24. Deuteronomy 2, 24. Amen. I want to welcome everybody. If today is your first time of fellowshipping with us, this is a blessed place and a beautiful place to be, because we are in no other's presence but the presence of the Most High King. Hallelujah. This service has been tailored to honor God, and that is the reason why we are gathered here. Amen. It's not a social gathering, and it is not any other gathering, but the Bible says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be, and so it is unto him and unto him alone. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. Put it up. The Bible says, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Listen to me. If you are here, there is a river that you must cross. Everybody sitting here, you will come at a point in time of your life that you will meet a river. Now, you cannot say that whilst I stand at the bank of the river, I change my mind to return. If you return, the enemies are waiting for you. Hallelujah. You must cross that river. And I see the Lord helping you to cross every river. Hallelujah. Some of you have academic rivers. Some of you, the river is that you must build your own house. Some of you, the river is that your ministry must move to another level. Some of you, your river is a marital river, and you must cross that marital river in the name of Jesus. There is a river. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says that, rise. Take your journey. Take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite. The Lord is saying, I have given into your hands. I have given into your hands. He's saying, take charge of everything that I've given to you. Hallelujah. And Amorite, king of Heshbon and his land. So honestly, what the Lord is instructing them is that, as for the land, I've given it. The land has been handed down to you. It has been given to you. The ministry has been handed down to you. It has been given to you. The business has been handed down to you. It has been given to you. The marriage, the health, the baby has been handed down to you. It has been given unto you. Because he said, I have given you king of Heshbon, I've given him to you and his land. Begin to possess it. Begin to possess it. So God is expecting that what he has handed over to you, you must possess it. Hallelujah. Sometimes we ask questions. So this thing, has it been given or has it not been given? The Lord is saying he's giving it to you. There is no place for questioning. The place you have is that you've got to possess whatever the Lord has handed over to you. Take it. It says, it's yours. It's yours. The mega church has been given to you. Possess it and take it. Somebody said, I can see that my business is having a downward trend. Listen to me. He's saying that mega business, I've handed it over you. It is yours. And he says that begin to do what? Possess it. Look at the scripture. Begin to possess it. Begin to possess it. Hallelujah. Now, he says, and contend with him in battle. So yes, the prophecy have been spoken. Yes, we are so sure that the battle, we are on the winning side. But there is some way, somehow, a way to possess it. How do we possess it? We possess it by contending. By contend. Some of you are too gentle and you cannot win anything. You can't have anything because you are too gentle. He says, contend with it. Which means that it's not going to come into your hands so easily. He said, contend. Is somebody going to rise up to contend? He says, do what? Contend. To contend means to fight. To fight. He says, as for the king of heaven, I've given him to you. I've given the land also to you. Everything that you asked for and prayed for, I have given it to you. Go and possess it. But this is how you do it. You contend. You contend. And in our purposes, as believers, how do you contend? You contend through the battle of prayer. Many of us, the many things that we have been anticipating and been dreaming of, God has laid it on our table. Our bit is to possess it by contending for it. And that is where there is a departure. That is where there is a difference. It is at that point that you will see those who own and those who do not own. You will see those who have and those who do not have. Hallelujah. Because you know what is happening? Believers are so lazy, they don't want to fight. Oh, there are a lot of lazy believers. We like to talk more. And we do not pray at all. But he says, contend. Turn to somebody and tell him, contend. Oh, yes. Tell him, contend. To contend means to fight until the thing becomes a reality. Paul told Timothy, he said, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that has gone before on thee, thou mightest wage a good warfare. Listen to me. A mega church will not come in handy. You've got to possess it and contend with it. Contend with it, because there are forces, unseen forces behind you. You every day you are complaining of your husband, you are complaining of your wife that he is spoiling the marriage. Hey, you've got to contend, because you see, the husband you are complaining about, he even has no control of what is happening. He has no clue. He has no idea. What is happening? He has no clue. So your complaint is not solving it. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, so your complaint is actually compounding the issue. Your complaint is actually making the thing more complex, because as you complain, you open this mouth that God has put death and life in. So through your confession, you are actually aggravating the situation. But he says that you better rise. Somebody must rise. I said somebody must rise. It's about time believers know that we've got to rise and possess. You can possess what God has laid on your table, but you will have to contend. Have to contend. Oh, put your hands together for the Lord. You have to contend. Ah, dear businessman, you have explained many things away. And you have explained many things away. The economy is bad, and you know, these people are not ruling well, and they say, yes, we know, we can see, yes. I'm telling you that they even have no clue. They have no clue, because apart from the physical situations, there are also spiritual entities that are in control, that they don't have control over. But to possess that which is yours. I said to possess that which is yours. Tell to somebody that to possess that which is yours. You need to contend. Jack, Jaisuno. Nyankopon ohwe nisua. Nyankopon ohwe wujidie. He's moved by your faith. He's not moved by your tears. That boyfriend is moved by your tears, but for a while. But God is moved by your faith. Is moved by your faith. I pray that somebody will rise up in faith, contend until he possesses that which is his. That is why in Mark chapter 11, the Bible says, whatsoever thing you pray for or whatsoever thing you ask, believe that you have them. You know, believe that you have them. Present tense. Believe that you have them. And then you shall have whatsoever. So you need faith, which is one of the key ingredients to possess that which is yours. Hey, that baby that you don't have, Charlie Jack, it will not come easy. God says, I have given you. He has written in his word. He has given you a promise. He says, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. He is saying that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You are a believer. You serve the Lord. These things have been given to you. And he's saying, possess them. But how are you going to possess it? You need to contend. A Christopher, you're lazy. What are you expecting from the Lord? Because that's the way. That's the way to go. That's the way to go. I'm sorry to say, I wish that the thing will drop from the skies and then it will land on your plate. But that is the way to go. You need to contend. I pray for somebody here that your life regarding prayer must change. There must be a 180 turn around where you can now lift up the word of God. Come before him and contend until you see. Oh, yeah, yeah. One day there was a young guy, he's got an accident. They say he will die. I say I will contend in prayer till this guy lives. Yeah, yeah, and the guy will not die. And I was stubborn to the doctors. You see, there is a posture. There is a posture of faith. When you have a certain posture of faith, you debunk every word that man is saying, and you lift up the word of God, and you contend with it. I told the doctor, why too much? She was looking at me, she was blushing. I said, madam, you know something, enough. This guy, he will not die. He will live. He will live. I just prayed a simple prayer, laid hands. But you see, that simple prayer of laying on of hand would not have been effective if I wasn't doing warfare in my closet. When you come to a meeting and you see a man of God is laying hands and people are falling, you think that is all there is. So you go into a meeting, then you are laying hands expecting people falling. When they don't fall, then you push them. Do you know what takes place in the realms of the spirit, in the closet. You have battled and danced and bargaining on behalf of the people. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that what God has given to you to possess, you will possess it by battling. Hey, wonder you can't sleep and you are there and you are quoting medical terms. I'm having insomnia. Insomnia. They say that there's a condition called insomnia, and because of that, I must always take Valium, 20 milligrams, then I'll sleep. Look, Valium, ube to me anum Valium, unu wikra enyoshi. So the thing that seems to be solving the problem is actually compounding the problem. He says, and he has said it in his word, for this cause he giveth his beloved sleep, that his sleep will be sweet. Don't you want this promise? Now, how do you possess this promise? You possess it by contending. You contend it. Hey, areas, hey, you will not get what you deserve. You will never, some of you, number one, even where you were born, is the number one. Did you choose where you were born? Did you choose your tribe? Oh, sorry, and now what I asking for switch, baby. Oh, baby, a friend, where you come from, it's called Adian Judim. It's not on the map. And you are expected to contend with people who are on airport is Legon. You are joking. I said, you are joking. You can complain. And where I was born, I don't know where I was. Jesus could have complained that I was born in a manger. Hey, but he knew his assignment. May God help you to know your assignment. I said, may the Lord help you to know your assignment. And contend until you possess. Until you possess. I am sick and tired of believers who complain. What complain here? When you be complain, I've no achia cause of so. No achia con the reso. No achia. I've sister no. Oh, Nancy or Baba Tony Moncash. Look at you. Would you not want to spend some time in his presence to contend in prayer? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Look. I'm telling you, church, I am sharing with you what I've experienced over many years. Even to be where we are, I had to contend. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, you put up a building. Would you buy and say, oh, may Baba see me, I'm sorry, dying. And my community benefited greatly. You see, crushing it. So for crossing it, when we dance, gung, a waha, a dying papa, a waha, no, a bini. Yeah, did you want them? So, number one, that is a clear sign that Satan is not happy with what is going on. Some of you, you don't know. You must be able to see the signs when the devil is not happy about things. This group sends me to court. That group sends me to court. When they see you, they are smiling. Oh, yes, sir, bishop and everything. But almost real, soon close you. Yeah. But you know something? At a point, I said, no. This battle is not a physical battle. I will do the battle behind the scenes. And then I'll go to the court anyway when they call me. But I'm winning the battles in the secret place so that by the time I come to the court, it manifests in the open. Oh, I tell you, one day, it was so beautiful. Some of you have read 2 Chronicles 20:25. And you have read about the people of Amnon and the Mount Seir and they fought against themselves. You just read about it. I have experienced it. Maybe I have to be sharing the stories to you. I was sitting in a meeting and I saw a lawyer with his client fighting. And my lawyers were about to talk. I said, your phone.
The Bible says, be still and see the salvation of the Lord.
You are suspect. I suspect you've got to collect money from the people. And they were fighting right in front of us.
He said, hey, Sofo, Mungonko Simodine. Sankrofo Munya correct.
Mungonko Simodine. Amunya correct. And as I was sitting there, I was like a person who was dreaming. You see, the Bible says, when the Lord turned our captivity in Zion, we were like them that dream. Somebody is about to experience something that will make you feel like you are dreaming. You would have been praying for something for a long time. But you said that, no, the answer has come too quickly. The answer has come too quickly. That will be your story in the name of Jesus.
And then the lawyer said, look, Pastor, with all due respect, if I let me see you on the side, then he called me and said, listen, don't mind these people. They are just disturbing. Go ahead and do what you have to do. You know what happened? 1 month after that meeting, the guy who was contending with that had favor with a very important personality and was working on a reputable. They handed him a letter and they said, you know something, we can't work with you. Now, so you can't fight God and win. I see him around. He's always going on walk. Now, I'm saying, now, who's wrong? Somebody is possessing that which is yours. But listen, it is not going to come easy. It's going to take people who understand the seasons and the times. The Bible says the sons of Issachar, they understood the seasons and the times. Some of you, you don't have spiritual thermometer at all. So you can't feel the weather spiritually. We are so carnal. When we are the faith we are Caribbean, when it's reaching you. Now we need to chill. Because what they're in Tiasia one is Henry Biscuit to Nomnia de home. Henry Biscuit to Nomnia de. But there comes a time in your life that you may have to lay your tummy down. Go before the King of Kings. Go be somebody, your health has been compromised. Wow. The woman with the issue of blood. Well, I call hospital, sir. She's been to the hospital. Or call Provita. Or call Abita. Or call Ahan and her friends. Inkum. And I have so down poor. She went, and the Bible says her situation became worse. You see, because man will exploit you when you have a weakness, but God will restore you when you have a weakness. The guys were making money off. Opportunity has come. Opportunity has come. Young Tom Yedro, young man on collab. So by the time you go to the hospital, Uhia lab, but ube collab, ube triaka. Uhia x-ray. Osu uti yo yo, uti keke. You went with headache. Then the doctor will say, go and lie down. I'm coming to do vagina examination. Man will exploit you. I'm telling you. Listen, I've come to stir somebody up to prayer. As I've come to stir somebody up to prayer, I'm telling you. Man will exploit you, but God will never exploit you. I said, God will never do what? God will not exploit you. When you are your own, you have glasses, scrape them on glasses. Because I was here throwing a product. Maybe a CT scan. You bought CT scan and you put so out of fear, you see that you are following the instructions and the. One day I told one of my daughters, I said, listen to me right now. The people are trying to generate fear in you. Refuse it. Because they will make you go through a lot of examination at a point. They will tell you, oh, we didn't see anything. But why are you can't be here? Don't allow the enemy to sow a seed of fear in your life. Because God has given you your health. He says that I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God wants you to be in perfect health. If you have been contending with your health and people are exploiting you, the Bible says that I have given your health into your hands. All you have to do is go and possess it, but contend. Turn to somebody and tell him, contend. Tell him, contend. Yeah. Contend. Contend. God is calling his children to rise in contention against the enemy's plots and against the enemy's plan. Hallelujah. So I've been teaching for some time and I've taken my time. I am not rushing anywhere. Once you can cut this revelation, it will remain with you forever. And it will transform your life forever. Been teaching on 10. I'm now on the 7th one. Yeah. 10 reasons why, if you're a pastor, you must pray. If you're a businessman, you must pray. If you're a wife, you must pray. If you're a husband, you must pray. If you're a student, you must pray. 10 reasons why every believer must pray. It is a must. Turn to somebody and tell him it is a must. A must means there's no negotiation. A must means you don't have any excuse. And as for now, I don't know. One day, it has nothing to do with your prayer life. It has nothing. One day, when did he? Don't bring yourself. Where did the Amia belt? Excuse me. Pray, you are giving excuses. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for your church. And I pray that, Lord, we will catch a glimpse of what you are talking about this morning. I pray that may the heart of your people, O God, be fertile enough to receive your rhema of your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pray, because the apostles refused to give up prayer when they were under pressure from administrative duties. The people wanted to reduce the apostles to sharing of food. Yes. To sharing of food. You see, if you are an apostle, you need to set things in position. Because you cannot be every, you are not omnipresent. Because which one should I go? But they are all complaining. Bishop didn't come for her funeral. Is that not what you do? Is that not what you do? You complain. But you just look at the distances and the travel time. So the apostle or the bishop will have to set things in motion such that the people will deputize his functions. And clearly, the call is a call to prayer and ministering of the word. So that after he has been in the secret place of the Most High, when he comes out to minister the word of God, people's souls will be restored. People's lives will be affected. People will receive their healing. Me hear me 58th birthday cry, Bishop Amba. Unso so unko weddings, utiwe, unko function bia was on them. What's your meaning? You don't go for any function. When people don't come for a function, I'll be full. My birthday crow, be and wish me happy birthday. Yeah, wish you happy birthday. Go bend the sea. It's from Bishop. You can. It's a quotation. The quotation is so you can do go bend the sea, Bishop Ato Dixon. Hallelujah. The apostles, a got to a point in their ministry, they realized that we are deviating. Look, and let me tell you something. There's a fine line when you are deviating. When you are deviating from your vision, there's a fine line. And that's why I thank God for the life of Bishop Dagwood Mills. He is not moved by anything that is going around. He is not moved by anything, any insult, any circumstance. He's so focused to the core. Quite a number of we, even Christians, we have deviated. We have deviated in our belief system. We have deviated in our understanding to the call of God upon our lives. We have deviated. I'm sorry, and say, cry and your boho, man, crop for your more friends, a cordia bay, or money boho, monkonko, your boho, mom. Hey, boho, a Ghana, what else you would do? I'm telling you, that's why there is a ministry of what? Water. Is there a ministry of water? We are in the ministry of our Lord and Savior. They are in the ministry of water. So, ministry of water ministers water. A ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ ministers Jesus Christ. If we do it, it's a secondary thing, but it's not the priority. We do it anyway, but it's not the main thing. May you not lose focus. Some of us, we have lost focus even in our walk with God. We have lost focus. Oh, sorry, oh, jump in. You say prophecy, prophet, we own. Of Ivan Wapu. I said, even where the person is coming from, that's the reason why you are going. Hey, prophet way, Ofi, Sao Tome and Principe, or yet Tatashi. Listen to me. The things you have been desiring, the things you have been trusting God for, today I came to tell you in Deuteronomy that God says that I have given them to you. All you have to do is to possess it. How will you possess it? You possess it when you contend in prayer for it. I love the leprous guys. Four lepers. Four. They had been placed at the outskirts. You know, leproserums are normally built at the outskirts because in those days, leprosy caused by Mycobacterium leprae, you know, is a very contagious condition. When fomites or droplets is the person is talking to you and then a drop of spit lands on you, you're on your way to getting it. So the reason was that let's put them far away so that when they are talking to us, they will not be close. So these guys have been put at the outskirts. Nobody goes. So it was like a college of leprosy patients. A group of leprosy patients. And can you imagine the level of depression they'll be going through? The guys were there. One day they said, we'll do a looter. Hey, choboye. Because there was hunger in the city. And the people were looking for food to eat. They said that, no. This hunger, if we stay here, we will die. If we go into the city also, we will die. So when we stay here, hunger will kill us. When we go into the city, the people will kill us. All die, be die. All die, be die. All die, be die. 2 Kings 4, I think. All die, be die. So you know what? They gathered themselves and they moved into the city. Okay, 2 Kings 7. Let me read it to you. 4. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall die. So what they were saying was that all die, be die. And look at what they did. 5. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the utmost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. You see, sometimes the river that you are giving excuses you can't cross, and you are giving an excuse that the river is too deep, the depth, I may die out of it. If you went through it, maybe you would have seen that it was something shallow. One day it had rained. I mean, those times when you see big potholes and then, you know, there's a swelling of a pool right in there. I mean, I knew that if I passed through, getting home would be shorter. And I was contemplating to go and pass around. I say, look, I'll pass through. I'll pass through. So I decided to go on the sides, the fringes. As I was going, I realized that the level is still the same. And then I crossed to the other side. Then I realized that it wasn't a deep pool after all. Some of us, what we see with our eyes prevents us from making steps and taking steps. But I pray that you will not judge. The Bible says that Jesus did not judge according to sight, neither did he judge according to what he heard. But he was influenced by the Holy Spirit. May you not judge. Some of you, your judgment is by infim is the reason why you are marrying that guy. Infim na is a toothbrush. Nakuma adding so much that he looks so nice with his infim. But he's an unbeliever. May you not judge by the eyes. Turn to somebody and tell him, may you not judge by the eyes. May you not judge by what you see. May the Holy Spirit influence you. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. May you be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the Bible says, put that scripture up. I want to read it to the hearing of the congregation. Verse 7:5. Hey. Are we safe? See, you're not concentrating. He said that when we sit here, we'll die. And so the Bible says, and they rose up in the twilight to go onto the camp. When they were come to the utmost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. 6. For the Lord. Everyone say, for the Lord. You see, when you take an act of faith, then the Lord also dispatches. The Lord is affected and touched by your faith, that he dispatches and deploys angels to fight on your behalf. He says that, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. And the four people that are coming, the Syrians are hearing that chariots are coming. Chariots are coming. And a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egyptians to come upon us. 7. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tent. You see, these people decided that we are going to possess. And when they took the step to possess, the Lord showed up. May the Lord show up as you go to possess that which is yours. Now, I'm talking about cripples. Now, you just think about it. Cripples say, buy na nipa oha. And sana omonde bekono ehenfa. And naina omonde bekono ehenfa. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether you are deficient. It doesn't matter when you are disabled. Once you act on faith with God, he dispatches his angels to contend over you and contend for you. And you will always be on the winning side. I see you being on the winning side. Jack, stop fighting your battles yourself. Enough of it. you have fought your battle too much and you are not getting any results. Have you got any results so far? Yeah. You will not get any results. I remember many years ago when I used to play the court. I used to play court. I was a footballer. Yeah. Maybe I'm a cabana, I'm a corretana. Maybe I'm a coach in Black Stars. I'm a friend, Papa C. I'm a coach in Black Stars. They take us into a room. They draw a triangle. They put stones there. They put red candles and other candles. And they put incense. We didn't even know what they were saying. I didn't understand. All throughout till today, I don't understand. We'll say Psalm 23. We'll say it. Psalm 23. You see that the whole place is smelling of incense. Yeah. And then they will give every one of us line. So you hold one on your right and you hold one on your left. And the reason why they are giving you the line is that the opponents that are coming, they are also coming with a powerful force. So what you do is that when you get to the field, you put the first line, you put it down in your right and you step on it, indicating that their powers have been overpowered. And then the second line, you go into their goalpost and throw it in there. It means we are going to put goals inside the net. Hey, so you're saying it doesn't do anything. I said it doesn't do anything. But I am telling you that if you trust in the Lord, the Bible says you shall be like Mount Zion. You will not be moved. You will abide forever. If you put your trust in God, He will fight for you. And you hold your peace. I see somebody holding his peace. Because the Lord is fighting on your behalf. Amen. The Bible says that the people had fled. They had fled. Why? Because they had chariots. Anytime you trust in God in prayer and you contend in prayer, the Lord dispatches his angels to contend on your behalf. And when they start contending on your behalf, it sounds like a human machinery. They thought it was a chariot. They thought it was horses that had been hired by the king of Israel. But they didn't know that the Lord God of hosts. That's why it's called the Lord God of hosts. In other words, the commander in chief, the Lord who commands an army of angels. And when they come and fight on your behalf, there's no way you can lose. You see, the military people here, I hear that here. Is it the Umofia? You know Umofia? The Umofia. If you come and stand in a country, a border country, you hold tight and you even throw it, the people, they cannot win battles. Because they don't have fighter jets. They don't have helicopters. They don't have, hey, we are not safe. We are not safe. You better arm yourself with God's angel army. Better arm yourself. And you know what they did? Amazing bit is when they went to the place, what they did was that they started collecting the goods of the people. And I see God causing your enemies to give up every good that they have stolen. They started collecting the goods. He said, and when these lepers came to the utmost part of the camp, they went into the one tent and did eat and drink. He said, only with enemies, so come to me and ADD. When you talk about? When you talk about? Many years ago, I was a young guy. The house opposite our house, they said that some armed robbers had come to the house. You know? And when the woman was narrating her story, when she said that the armed robbers, they went to the fridge. Are you understand? They went to the freezer. They took stew. She was describing that as an armed robbery attack. Do you understand? They took stew. They boiled rice. And they spread the table. And they sat down to eat. And then they took that time flat screen had come fresh. They took flat screen. That's all they took. And they left the house. When the woman was narrating a story, I whispered to my sister, these are not robbers. These are hungry people. So can you imagine? These guys have come to fight with you. They have what it takes to sit down. We are not in a hurry. And you know something? That is what the Lord is going to do for you. He says, he prepared a table before me in the presence of their enemies. So you will not be in a hurry when you are enjoying your booty of what God has blessed you with. Hey! They were sitting. And they were eating. Not only were they eating, they were drinking. Put it up, please. Put it up. And they were drinking. So they went to one tent. The one tent they went, they ate and they drank. And then carried dense silver and gold and raiment. Hey, Charlie, the guys went for shopping. When God fights for you, it will be like you are going for shopping. Ah! They carried gold, they carried silver, they carried raiment, dresses, and went and hid it. And came again. And entered into another tent. And carried thence also. And went and hid it. Then they said one to another. Listen to what they said one to the other. They said one to another. We do not well. We are not doing well. Charlie, Jack. I think we are not behaving well. Look at what they said. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. 10. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. That will be your story in the name of. I prophesy over somebody's life that this is going to be your story. I said, this is going to be your story. After you have held on to the word of God and you have taken steps to possess that which God has promised for you to possess, what will now happen is that you will take what belongs to you and you will have what is yours. And then you will come back to your brethren and come and share the thing. The guy said, look, let's go and share with the brethren. I mean, the people are hungry. Some of you, you travel, you go, and then the brethren that are around, you have forgotten that when you were going, you left some hungry people around. You left some unemployed people around. Some of us, the opportunity is given to us. We get scholarship. We go and study abroad. Instead of coming to help, they'll say, you see, the government, they don't help people. They don't help people. It's not true. If you are determined to do it, you can do it all by yourself. Some of us, we like big things. That's the thing. You want to go and collect loan. Uh-huh. That's the reason. That's the reason. You know, the government. But you can build it bit by bit by bit by bit by bit. With time, you would get people employed and all those. You train people and all that. When God blesses you, others for chop some. Did you hear what I said? When God blesses you, what should you do? Others for chop some. Tell to somebody and tell you, others for chop some. That's the reason why the Israelites don't like Paul. That's the reason why the Israelites don't like Paul. Because in the Old Testament, the Bible says that anybody who creates a field and is farming, leave a portion, a tenth of the portion, so that any stranger person can just go there and go and eat. Paul say, if you don't work, don't eat. That's the difference. He that does not labor should not eat. He changed the whole thing. And the people are very unhappy with him. Hallelujah. So in Acts chapter 6 verse 2, the Bible says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among you, seven men of honest report. That is how come we choose leaders. That's how we choose leaders. Seven men of honest report. Yeah. Wabra bone e was so any wo nyamienim any ni penim. We are wagadrill. Upes oh yes, oh yeah, penny wa sorry them. Yen yanisa. Men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Obi oho wo do. So I dream a bini ho. Like neighbor. Or then he don't know influence it, but he's not got wisdom. So you need the door, you also need the wisdom. Are you seeing that? Yeah. Who we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually. Continually to what? To prayer and to the ministry of the word. So you see that the apostles chose that. No, we listen. Yeah. And so that is how come in this church we have people who are overseers, constituency overseers. And the idea is that we will stand and pray and contend. We have put all those things in place. And these people are also very anointed to lead the congregation whilst we stand in prayer to come and be a blessing and give spiritual direction. Guidance to the congregation. Is it a powerful thing? Yeah. We are basenta leaders. We are basanta leaders. Just say, oh, tia, so the unye shi. So, you don't do anything in church. But I'm telling you that when you are in a family, you must be involved. You must be involved in the family. There must be something that you are doing. Even prayer is a very key thing. Can join. You stand in the gap to pray. Find something to do in the house. Amen. So far, brother, no woman. So far, come on, sir. Facebook. Now throw your man who here. When the early church grew, the apostles came under pressure to become administrators. The mystery of ministry is this: when you pray, you will give birth to many souls and much fruit. That's what it is. Yeah. These new fruits will demand care and time for you. And you see, you can get all the care you must get from your bishop. But at the end of the day, the words, the ancient words of ministration and ministry, that should save your life, you will not receive it. You will not receive spiritual upliftment. You will not receive satisfaction. So your spirit man will be so emaciated and undernourished. Because you are getting physical care, but the spiritual care is not there. And so for on one case of Bano, Pastor Reverend Frank's umbra, no, so I say, I saw the Grammy Jai. I'm showing you where this delegation thing is coming from. So I'll cast up my heart. My special day, my birthday, say me be track cake. My person no baby channel. What's my pastor not? Ah, how did he take a CNN swab? Please, the wife said it, though. I didn't say it. Not you and your wife's matter. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can see clearly over here that the early church understood the role of prayer in the church. There is a role for prayer in the church. Hallelujah. And there's a role for the ministry of the word in the church. Amen. Your greatest duty, therefore, is to be able to balance the need to look after the souls and the need to pray. Peter and the other apostles took the right decision and preserved their ministries. How did they do this? The baton has been handed over. And our greatest need is to spend hours in prayer. Let us not succumb to the pressure that wants us to neglect our great responsibilities of intercession. If we neglect prayer, listen to this. If we neglect prayer, and if you neglect prayer, who will do it? Jack, who the wabrabo at the ashek? Really? Look, you see, you hear somebody say, I'm praying for you. That is the prayer. What he said to you is the prayer. Do you understand what I just said? When a person says that I'm praying for you, there are just a few people that you can see that no. Yeah, it's like they have a certain heart. And mind to pray for, but when he says, "Oh, I've been praying for you," we remember you in our prayers. Actually, the remembrance is that as he's speaking, that's it. That's all. That's all. You need to fight in prayer yourself. Turn to somebody and tell you need to fight in prayer yourself. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "And I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." If you don't engage in prayer, it's just a matter of time. Your ministry will die. Your business will die. Your marriage will die. Look, always see that anything that the enemy is fighting, it means that it's a good thing. One of the things he fights is marriage. You just think about if God had not created marriage, and he said we should live like the way the dogs live, the cows live. Do you know what would have happened? Have you thought of it? Have you thought of it? Lawyer, just imagine that God had not created marriage. You see, because there's no marriage for goat, she goat and he goat. Is there marriage for them? Is there marriage for Billy goat and whatever goat? Is there marriage for the dogs? There's no marriage. I mean, you are moving out, you meet somewhere, and then you feel like, and then you just do. Situational relationships. Uh-huh. So just imagine that if that is how God also allowed us to live. But because the devil wants sicknesses to spread, because the devil wants sin to abound, he will do everything possible that what God has created to address a problem, he will fight it. That's why in the garden he fought it. And if in the garden he fought it, yours is no exception. Yours is no exception. So you better stop pointing at accusing fingers that you have done this, you have done that. Yes, he has done it. It's okay. Forgive and move on. You don't have much time to fight. How many years do you have on earth that you have chosen that every day you are going to fight? It's like every day is a boxing ring in your marriage. The other time I was talking to you, said, who said, and then the beginning of the fight. You are not my equal. You must rather contend in prayer. You must learn to pray together. A praying couple stick together. Hallelujah. Sometimes the men, they don't like to pray. They look very, very audacious on the outside. But the ladies who don't look audacious on the other, they rather like to pray. I am telling you that normally the men, because we see them, like as I'm here, I'm preaching and everything, you see that my wife rather even prays more than me. That's how it is. And it's true. You don't need to tell me whether it's true or not true. I say it's true. I put it to you that it's true. And the men, we have to change. Men, we have to do what? Yeah. Because you are the man. You are the one called bishop. You are the one called reverend. You are the one called pastor. So because you are a bishop and you are reverend, you are a pastor, you are the one who prays. It's not true. I've carried my own censors. Yeah, I've carried my own censors. Me, I always have a way of, I work with data. I don't just work, you know, say things. People will say, I've carried my own censors within a certain group. I picked at random people. I'm a scientist, so there's a way my mind works. I didn't go to school for nothing. I must apply it. Yes. So I pick people at random, a couple of numbers within an area, and I decided that I want to carry out this. I realized I'm a man almost. You wake them up, cry, they won't wake up. You wake them up, cry. So you are also frustrated. As you go and pray small, then you can. You see, the men are like Peter, James, and John. The women are like Jesus. Jesus went to pray. When he came back, the men were sleeping. Men, true or not true? Women, true or not true? Hallelujah. So the apostles, they decided that they will pray. Amen. And you must decide that you are going to pray. Are you going to pray? Are you going to rise up and pray? Listen to this. One of the hallmarks of what people call revival is prayer. Anytime you hear there's a revival in the church, it means that the people have come to a place of being prayerful. All right? A place of being prayerful. Where do you hear shouting and prayer all night long? Where do you hear of long prayer meetings with people speaking in tongues? In such places, you will see people being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit continually. Do not take the subject of prayer lightly. Turn to your neighbor and tell, do not take the subject of prayer lightly. You know, church, when we even take, is it, and if you have subjects, you pray for a long time. Many of us, I don't think we've even identified subjects we should pray for. When you take your children alone are enough prayer subjects. Your teenage children. One day, a woman called me and said, look, I've seen something, my heart. Bishop, my heart, my daughter, I didn't train her to use this kind of vulgar language. I one day chanced on a conversation. Bishop, something's up. I said, oh, please, keep your heart because we'll be. The only thing was that I would turn that mobile phone to your parents didn't see. We'll be. I just tried to trivialize it for her to know that, look, you don't need to worry. You need to contend in prayer. Are you getting me? Because when you check on their mobile phones, you will notice that you don't know your children. Yeah. You notice you don't know your children. So as you are speaking, you are advising them, they are laughing at you in their head. Say, oh, Charlie, by you. Oh, mommy, no, no, what's up, man? Mommy, no, no. Daddy, no, no, what's up? So they are a subject of prayer that they will not conform to this world, but they will be transformed by the renewing of their minds. They will have a certain interest in the work of God. They will have interest in the word of God. They will have interest in serving God. I'm telling you. Because when I look at my life, I say, God saved me. God saved me and he saved me early. You know, because the group of friends I moved with were all creepy guys. Except that, man, I said, no, my shaka crevice. So, I knew things. Because when I come home, there are things, video, Top of the Pops, Michael Jackson trailer, this, I mean, they show. But some of the people, they were not exposed to those things. You see, and what you are not exposed to will not destroy you. But at least my circle of friends were believers. My circle of friends loved to pray. My circle of friends will always say that, look, we need to go to Gateway Baptist Church. And we are praying the whole day. And what are we praying for? God's will to be done. What's the meaning of that? God's will to be done. What will? But we were praying, we didn't understand it. I look back and I say, you see, those times that I was praying, another faction and group of people were going to smoke weed. So they also fellowship around we. We were fellowshipping around prayer. Some were fellowshipping around we. Some were fellowshipping around Akpeteshi. But what led to those choices? Mercy and grace. So you have to rise and pray, Lord, have mercy on my daughter. Have mercy on my son. Lord, deliver her from evil influences. I'm telling you. Because they look so good and they are good pretenders. Children can pretend. But you would have to rise up and pray for them. Because sometimes when they begin to feel some chemistries in their system, you know what they do? They are curious. They are curious. And depending on the way you relate with them, they may not seek counsel from you. Because we are hard. Just we need no cry or back crossroad. So rather, you go and consult a friend. And mind you, she'll receive bad counsel. And she'll receive wrong counsel. And by the time you realize, she's made a mistake she didn't intend to make. But it's because as a parent, you have not created that environment for the children to come. As he's even talking, and she's talking, and she's talking, then prayer subject starts rising up in your spirit. Because you realize that, hey, maybe she's spoken deep into things. So, you know, you may not put her off, but you stand in prayer and guide her. It's about time we rise up and pray. Hallelujah. Are you going to be a prayer warrior? Look, this church, everybody must be a prayer warrior. Everybody must be a prayer warrior. Don't leave prayer to anybody. Everybody must rise up and pray. There must be prayer going on all across the place. Amen. Because that is what we need. Turn to somebody and tell him that prayer is what we need. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We bless you for your word. We thank you for the stirring up in our spirits to contend and to stand in the gap in prayer. Deliver us, O Lord, from the spirit of prayerlessness. Deliver us. Lift your hands and speak to the Holy Spirit right now. Speak to the Holy Spirit right now. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Speak to the Holy Spirit right now. All across the room, just lift your voice. 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 We give you the glory. We give you the honor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do you want to give your life to Jesus? Somebody invited you to that church?
Yes.
You want to say that, Lord, come into my heart, be the Lord of my life. I want to serve you all the days of my life. Wherever you are, just lift your hand. I'm going to pray for you right now. Today is your day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. You want me to pray with you right now? The Bible says that he's standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking. If any man will hear my voice and open, I will come in. God bless you. Just lift it up high, wherever you are. Somebody invited you, just lift it up high. Now, if you've lifted your hands, I want you to do another thing. Let's do it in the next 2 minutes. I just want you to take a step. Come to me right now. I'm going to pray for you. Take a step. Come to me right now. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come, 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 come. come. Oh, encourage them, church. Encourage them with our clap. Let's encourage them. Let's encourage them. Let's encourage them. Hallelujah. Come. Come run into the mercy. Come run to the mercy seat. Oh, yes, Lord. Come run. Come run. Come. Oh, yes. Come. Come run to the mercy seat. Oh, come run and. Run to the mercy seat of Jesus. Oh, yes. Jesus. Hallelujah. There is one lady here. This is your opportunity. You can't leave this meeting without taking a decision for Jesus. Come, join us right now. I want to pray for you. A lady, where are you? Yes. Come to me. Can you lift your hands to God? Congregation, we want to pray with these wonderful people. Lift your hands to God. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Savior of the world. And you came into the world to die for my sins. This morning, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. Please have mercy on me. I repent of my sins. And I open my heart to you. Come and live in my heart. And be the Lord of my life. From this moment forward, I will serve you. And I will follow you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Kasi radi Yesu Christo. Me dawase any day. Me jidisa me born into now be we. Bet nama kumem. Be dihine o my brabom. Fiti anede ko. Me sumo da. Me diwe chida. Me dawase. Amen. Father, thanking you for all these precious souls. But for your salvation, Lord, where would they have been? Lord, we commit their souls, their spirits, and their bodies into your hands, that it be preserved blameless unto you. Cause them to be rooted and grounded in you. And above all, I pray and I commit them into your hands, that Jesus Christ will be formed in them. I travail and I stand contending on their behalf, that Lord, none of these ones will be lost. But the seed that have been sowed into their hearts will germinate and bring forth much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.